Right, morning everyone. So, next podcast instalment. So, Caroline and I have been looking at what's been going on around the help that's been offered to small businesses, at small and medium businesses, I should say. We've been looking at the Coronavirus Business Interruption Loan Scheme and the Bounce Back Loan Scheme, because there's been some correspondence between the FCA and the Ombudsman Service. And we kind of want to talk about where this kind of, we could see this going. So what did you make of it all, Caroline? What have you thought about all of this?
I thought it was really interesting because we've not seen anything like this for years, I suspect. For me, it was a real, we're going to say this before, aren't we? Like, it's interesting times. Clearly, there are some arrangements that are being put in place to support smaller and medium-sized businesses. And like, we started looking at it because, you know, we're a small and medium, we're a small business, aren't we? So you do take an interest in this. There's lots of sort of self-help groups out there at the moment, you know, trying to give advice to each other about what works and what doesn't. So naturally, it was quite a thing for us to kind of have an eye on, wasn't it? More than kind of other stuff that was happening. But, with these types of arrangements, what's very clear is that the usual checks and balances that the would normally happen if you're borrowing money don't exist, or certainly not in the same way that they have done before. And I think for me what was interesting was how the FCA in its letter to the Ombudsman had sort of called out that it already had some businesses that were quite concerned about what the Ombudsman might think about these arrangements in time. And that's something actually that we heard as well, wasn't it? When we were doing some of the podcasts a few weeks back now, some of the businesses were very concerned about this benefit of hindsight and what the Ombudsman will think to what happened on a UK-wide scale, which was kind of rubber stamped by the regulator.
This aspect in particular, I mean, we've been reading the correspondence that's gone between the FCA and the false and back again. And it's interesting because basically we all know the Ombudsman has a fair and reasonable remit. And what they've actually been told in that letter is, we know that you've got this fair and reasonable remit, but you have to bear in mind the circumstance of what's going on at the moment. And that basically means these two schemes are, there's no affordability or creditworthiness checks. It's in essence, the smaller businesses are coming and saying, I'm good for this. Can I have some money, please? And banks are being asked to say, well, yeah, all right then. And that is unprecedented, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, and you've got to rely, so it's all been pushed back really on the person who's borrowing the money. And this is the point, isn't it? It's a debt. It's not anything else. You know, you're borrowing money. And being a small business, one of the things that lots of people suffer from, and we saw that through sort of insolvencies and stuff when I was involved in that, was just how complicated and mixed people's lives are between their business and personal. So at what point do those lines start to cross, and are people actually using the money for what was intended for? And without those checks and balances, how are people going to feel about that in the passage of time when they start to look back on it and think, why was I allowed to do that?
Yeah, well, this is it, isn't it?
I shouldn't have done that. I should have just folded or, done whatever.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, what you're asking people to do is, suspend the reality at the moment and say, okay, right, we're gonna bail you out. But as you say, one, they don't necessarily, there's no checks in place to make sure they haven't spent it on, I don't know, a brand new patio and conservatory for the house rather than going into the business. And then, as you say, 2020 hindsight, they then turn around and go, well, actually, I should have folded. So I would like to complain about this, and you should never have let me have it. And what the FCA is saying, well, you've got to deal with it within the context of what's going on now. And that's, I can see why banks and lenders are getting a little bit wibbly about it. Well, hang on, you're asking us to do away with Conk. Do away with this, suspend everything and just say, all right, well, tough.
Yeah. And there must, there must be like a balance that's been done in terms of risk versus the reward of doing it, or essentially the implications of not offering emergency funding to business, which is, you know, which is a good thing. If you can get hold of it, then you need to do it, don't you? If you really need it, I think that's, for me, the key to it is, if you really need it, then it's there for you. If you're doing it because you can, that's, like I always say, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
No.
You know, so I can see why businesses are getting really, they're worried about what the future might look like. And, you know, I was saying earlier on, weren't we, that it's, you can understand how some people are getting really agitated and frustrated because actually they do need the funding and it's very difficult for them to get access to it at the moment just because resources are stretched. Mm. We've heard of people being on the phones for like hours on end trying to get through to their banks. And so that's a legitimate complaint, isn't it? And we would expect the Ombudsman to be able to deal with that in the normal course of events. But it's quite an unusual situation to have seen the FCA be so as direct as it was about its expectations on the Ombudsman's view of cases.
That's it, isn't it? Because it specifically said in that letter, there's going to be, we expect there's very few instances where you would come away from the stance of, you know, yes, you can apply fair and reasonable, but there's very few instances where we expect you to go away from a certain stance. And that is, we expect you to back the back the banks and the lenders.
Yeah.
But there are always going to be exceptions to the rule, aren't they? You know, that's just the nature of complaints handling. And as you say, there's going to be complaints about delays because obviously everyone's gone, I want this. There's going to be, there are going to be complaints about affordability and whether that loan, not grant, that loan should have been forwarded to that person. And then obviously there's going to be, I think there's going to be other issues around, oh, well, I should have been advised against it. But that's not what banks and lenders are being asked to do now.
No, not at all. So, and I think we were saying that it's being left to the borrower, isn't it, to decide whether they need it or not. Which is interesting. Whether or not it goes as far as saying that's almost like an execution only transaction.
God,
I don't know. I really don't know. So I think there's a lot, and it's so difficult, isn't it? Because these things have been moving so quickly as well. The time that you'd normally take to put together a beautifully crafted bit of communication around, you know, the risks and everything else, you know, are they as robust as they would have been had people had a bit more time to put them together? That's going to be, for me, where the Ombudsman will start to think about, not stretching its wings a bit, but, you know, actually sort of looking at things from a slightly different angle, potentially.
Fair and reasonable. Yeah, because they're liable to, aren't they? With all that, you know, fair and reasonable is looking at what's happening at time, code of practice, good conduct, all this sort of stuff. So there's lots that it could draw on. So actually, not sure that this should be turned aside, even though the context of what was going on, that's there, isn't it?
I mean, I would urge any business that's involved in doing these, if they haven't done so already, thinks about a really strong ongoing communication package with the customers that have taken it on.
Definitely.
To keep them involved and engaged, and to, I suspect, look out for any signs that it's not working for them. Actually, it's getting worse. You know, their situation is getting worse. And then there's a point where you go, we need to have a different conversation rather than you are asking for more money all the time. And just so that people are aware of what they've got, and they don't, like we're saying, it's not a grant, it's a loan.
Yeah.
How many people really understand the difference between the two?
That's a really key point. I think, okay, so you've been told at the moment that CONC can be done away with, you don't have to look at affordability and everything, but to cover your own backsides, communication is key. Yeah. You need to make sure that, this person has asked for this money, but do they understand the risks? Do they understand what's going to happen if they start to go a bit wibbly on their finances and things start to unravel? Mm. And they also, obviously, you need to make them aware of what's going on in the bigger picture as time goes on, you know, what help is out there should they find that the affordability is not as fantastic as they'd first hoped.
Yeah.
I mean, the UK Finance, they put a post on LinkedIn today, and it makes for fascinating reading. So they've said so far there have been £5.5 billion worth of the coronavirus business interruption loan schemes. That's mm-hmm. how much has already been paid out. And obviously there are people still waiting.
Mm.
And then in terms of the, acronyms, the Bounce Back Loan Scheme, that's been £2 billion worth of lending that's been made already. But even the UK Finance CEO, Stephen Jones, and I'll quote directly here, says, it's important to remember that any financing provided under these schemes is a debt, not a grant.
Mm.
And so firms should carefully consider their ability to repay before applying.
So that's the key to it.
That's absolutely right. And it ties in exactly with what you've said, doesn't it?
Mm.
The longer term, not just the initial lending, the longer term is that you need to do a bit of bum covering.
Yeah, because we know that people are, it's like most purchases of a product that it isn't like your main event. So we get this a lot with like motor insurance and people that don't, so they're focused on the car. So they don't think about the loan or the insurance so much. Holidays suffer from this as well, because you're focused on the,
the shiny, sparkly.
The idea of, being on holiday, you forget about everything else and don't pay so much attention. And this is the same thing. People's focuses are going to be on saving their businesses and their livelihoods. And, if you're under threat, then you will do what it takes to make things right, won't you? So that communication strategy needs to be robust and as clear as you could ever make it, and to continue it so that you're always reminding people of what it is that they've got and the implications of that.
Absolutely. All ties back into the when all this kicked off, the FCA came out and said, we want to see businesses providing strong support for customers.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just stop when you give them the loan. It needs to go on so that you can show, under ordinary circumstances, it might not have been suitable, but we were relying on this. And going forward, we've done all this communication, all this big picture stuff, just so that it doesn't come bite you in the bum.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, worst thing you could do is lend the money and then never speak to that person.
Yeah.
Bye. Again. Yeah, because it will invite trouble.
It will.
Yeah.
You need to keep fostering and keep that relationship going and make sure that you're looking after them.
Yeah.
So, That's our stuff for today, isn't it?
Oh, do you know what? The figures that you just quoted, you just can't compute them, can you? It's just
massive.
It's significant. And you hope it's going to do the job that it was designed to do, and it gets people back on track again. I think it is that thing that we've just said about businesses taking the extra effort and step to make sure that customers are completely aware of what it is that they've got. And continue to be aware of what they've got so they don't forget about it.
Yeah, it is that strong support, isn't it?
Yeah,
definitely. But those figures are just, you can see why businesses are a bit sort of about whether they're going to get backed by the FCA, the FOS, because if there's a precedent set by a complaint, by the FOS, a massive floodgate to open, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So
you can kind of see why the messaging has been quite strong from the FCA.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll have to watch that one. We're going to be keeping tabs on that one, seeing what happens longer term. So thanks for listening today. Well, we're basically mixing up, aren't we, between DISP and current stuff. So we're keeping the topics fairly moving, I think, alternating really a little bit.
Yeah, we couldn't ignore this one, could we? When it came out, we both sort of messaged each other and went, have you seen? Have you seen this?
That's how rock and roll our lives are. We're messaging each other about FOS and FCA stuff. But thanks for listening today. We'll be back again in a couple of weeks. And I think we'll probably be going back to DISP unless there's something, some other big development that catches our interest.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.